You're looking around to see where is the communion plates. We're not doing communion this morning, but we're looking at that passage of Scripture that is very familiarized with communion. But today, as we look at it, I want us to look at it in a different text. I want us to look at it as the cost of freedom and what it cost us. As we think about the cost of everything, as we talk about freedom, as we talk about this weekend, many are out of town because of the Memorial Day holidays. As we think about Memorial Day, we think about a lot of things. I remember in school when we would have to write a paper what Memorial Day weekend meant to us. Well, as kids, it meant hamburgers and hot dogs, going to the lake, going swimming, and those types of things. It also meant the celebration of the end of school. It was coming, and we knew it was right around the corner. So as we think about that this morning, I want us to think about what does this mean today? What does Memorial Day weekend mean to you? Now, many of us are celebrating, and they're having celebrations all over the place for those that have fallen, those that have given their lives, that have died for us, for the freedom that we so richly enjoy. And that's a good thing, too. We need to remember, without the soldiers that we had that have died for us all through history, we would not be where we're at today. We could not even possibly even be here this morning to worship our Lord Jesus Christ. But it also remembers another thing, and is a reminder to help us as we read these scriptures of what Jesus told us that we needed to do as Christians. We are to remember Him. This do in remembrance of me. This is what we're reading. So if you have your scriptures with you, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 23. We'll read this familiar passage. For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. And so as we think about those passages of Scripture this morning, as we think about this, it is a remembrance that we do in Him. Now, one of my favorite subjects, if not my favorite subject in school, was history. Sorry, teachers, if you're mathematicians or English or anything else, you lost out. History was the only thing that I really cared about. And some of the things I remembered, I was good with dates. Now, today I'm not that well with it. My mind has a tendency to forget some of those things. But some of the things I do remember is on May 30th, 1868, was probably the first day that we have recorded as memorializing this weekend. It was called Decoration Day at that time because basically what was happening was most of those were in during the Civil War, those that have died, people were going out to the graves and putting families on it. And little groups by groups began to do that till it became a major issue today. And so this weekend as we come together, a lot of people have gone out to have hamburgers and hot dogs the good old American way, spend time with families, going to cemeteries, visiting their loved ones, those types of things. So as we do that, I want to take time just for a moment, if we could, to also remember those. And we would like to recognize this morning anybody that's been in the military. If you would, please stand. Thank you very much. It's because of you and others that we have the freedom that we have today to even be here this morning to freely and openly worship our Lord Jesus Christ. But as we do come today, remembering this weekend, there are some things I want to touch on that will help us. For instance, over 100 times there is the phrase of remembering or remembrance mentioned in the Scriptures. We see in the Old Testament, God mentions about the rainbow in Genesis chapter 9 when He told the people, this rainbow will be a reminder that they will not flood the earth again. We see also the Passover in Numbers chapter 9 where God had the people put the blood over their doorpost, and the angel of death would pass over them and give them that freedom that they have. And then we see that also the stones at the Jordan River in Joshua 4, where they built this altar, crossing the Jordan River into the promised land that God had given them. And so there are many other elements that we remember. And so if we look at this word memorial, we would see that it means an object being placed to serve as a memorial of something, usually a person or an event. And this morning I want us to leave here understanding that God gave Jesus for us. So this Memorial Day, it is a celebration. It is laying something down before somebody. And I hope this morning that every one of us, Christians and non-Christians alike, that are here, that hears God's words, will lay their heart down as we do the memorial wreaths and the different places, as we go to different places for celebration. What are we going to lay before God this morning from each one of us? Not as a group, but individually. And so as we think about that, I want to share three things that Jesus did that will help us to remind us and remember us. First of all, we want to see that His life reminds us of the past. The day, Memorial Day, you and I need to remember that Jesus died over 2,000 years ago. He died so that we may have the freedom that we have religiously, spiritually, that we have. And so that He also died a cruel death, a death that He suffered. He was made fun of. He was whipped. He was beaten. A crown of thorns put on His head. And if that wasn't enough, they nailed Him to a cross and let Him hang there until He died. And then still made fun of Him. And Jesus came down and did that. He left heaven to come some 2,000 years ago because of that. This Memorial Day should remind us of what Jesus did for us in the past, and which is dying in our place. We have that freedom. But sometimes I think that as Christians, we feel like God is dead. And we've heard people say God is dead, and that's usually a non-Christian saying that because they don't know. But at times, Christians, we live as if God is dead. And we need to realize that God is not dead. God is alive. Jesus didn't come on this cross. He didn't come out of heaven, a beautiful home, and come on this earth and die just to say, oh, well, what's the use? Jesus is not dead. God is not dead, but He is very much alive in our lives. He's working in our lives even right now. If we would open our eyes and see, how many of us can say, I have been blessed so much today, I don't know that I can stand it. And yet we have, haven't we? We got out of a nice, comfortable bed this morning. Yes, we may have groaned and ached and popped a few bones and whatnot and complained about getting up, but we got up, didn't we? We had food to eat for breakfast, didn't we? Some don't. We had clothes. We were able to take a shower. Most of us, I think, did anyway, before we came to church. We had a nice car to drive us to church. We've got this beautiful building and comfortable pews. And by the way, I don't see anybody sleeping. But we've got all this that God has blessed us with, right? That's better than sleeping in underneath a bridge. It's better than being homeless, isn't it? We can take everything and look at it in a positive way. We are so much better off. If you're not, then go to a nursing home after church. Go to the hospital after church and see people that can move and see. God is not dead. He is alive and He's working miracles every day in our lives. That's what we need to be celebrating today. We need to see that He is not, and that He is worth praising God for living. And we need to wake up and praise God each and every day. Not just here on Sunday mornings, which, by the way, we need to do that. And we need to really get that. As I've said before, I remember in high school that we used to get real excited before a ball game because we would have what they call pep rallies to get you excited about the game for that night. Well, this is what church is to us today, folks. That is what we're doing right now. This is a pep rally. This is getting us excited about our Lord Jesus Christ so that we can do what? Go out into this world and share the name of Jesus Christ, a living God, not a dead God. But if we can't learn to praise God, then how are we going to share it with everybody else? And this is the one main reason why lost have no need for God, because they don't see Christians excited about Jesus Christ anymore. WMU has failed. Sorry about that, Betty. But they've failed. When's the last time we've heard about some missionaries? We need to hear more about our missionaries. We're sending our missionaries all over the world. Doors are opening up. They're getting into countries they've never been able to get into because of prayer, because of love for God, for servanthood for God. They're beginning to get into all kinds of places. But when's the last time we heard what was really happening about our missionaries? We need to hear more of that, don't we? they are out there on the frontier fighting a war against Satan. And we need to be doing that. We may not go with them as missionaries. We may not be able to go to a foreign land, but we can do several things. One, we can pray for them. Two, we can support them financially. And three, we have a mission field right here in our own community, don't we? And you know, the Great Commission, if we look at it, says we're all called to be missions. We see the example that the Israelites had. They had examples time after time after time that God blessed them. They prayed and they kept praying. They went into slavery, and for 400 years they were slaves, and they begged God, "Let us be free. We want to be free." And they were freed, and exactly within a week, what happened? They turned from God. They turned from God. But God loved them, and He blessed them anyway. And He finally took them into the promised land, and they could have got there sooner if they had trusted in God, couldn't they? But they didn't. They didn't trust in God. They decided to look at other ways, and so they forgot what God was all about. The second thing we see this morning is this. His life, Jesus' life, reminds us of the rewards of the present. If Jesus had not done everything that He had done, we would have no present. We would have no hope. There would be no forgiveness of sin for you and me today, because that's not what our world teaches. Church, when we begin to look back on what Jesus did for us, how Jesus died for us and set us free, it's then that we begin to gain courage and faith to trust Him for today's needs. We're in a world today that there are needs all the time. If you're up at this church during the day, there's not one day that doesn't go by. At least one person comes by that needs help physically, whether it's pay a light bill, whether it's put gas in the car, buy food, to buy clothing, or whatever they may need. There is always a need, and we cannot always meet those needs financially. But there is one need that can always be met, and that is that of salvation. That can always be. We don't have to worry about whether we get enough money at the first of the month for benevolence to share salvation, do we? That money helps for the physical, but it doesn't take money for the spiritual. That is freely given. And so we need to see and we need to listen. It's time, high time that this church begins to believe again, just like the disciples did. They believed in Jesus Christ. We need to believe like Abraham did. Get up and go, and he got up and go. We need to believe and have faith as Jacob and Isaac and all of the rest had, as Peter and Paul and John and all of those. And it's time for us to see that we need to recognize what the Old Testament says when He says, "I am the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior, the Author, and the Finisher." We need to see that He is the chief cornerstone, the Almighty, the Everlasting Father, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Anchor, and last but not least, the Truth, the Light, and the Way. We need to remember that this morning. God will know and always come through to us if we will just seek His will and trust in Him and accept what He's got to do. We use this word, and the youth are really using it. They use this word, awesome. You will hear them all kinds of ways. Awesome, awesome, awesome. He is what? That is something that is fantastic. Isn't that the way we need to talk about God? He is fantastic, isn't He? He is awesome. He is fantastic. He is the great I am. And we need to realize that we can do anything and everything through Him, because He is the one that authored it. He is the one that penned it. He was the one that gave it to us. But I'm afraid that we have a lot of churches today that have Christians that are just in case Christians. They come to church and they sit in a pew. And whether they listen or not, I don't know. But I do know this. They come simply because the day of judgment, they want to be able to stand before God and say, "Well, I was in church." Folks, that's not going to cut it. Because I can tell you right now, there's one person that you probably don't see right now that's in church. And that's the devil. And that's not going to get him into heaven. And if it's not going to get him into heaven, it's not going to get you and I in heaven. So you see, coming to church is not going to get you into heaven. And we need to get rid of that. But I wrote this next sentence in bold letters, in capital letters, simply so that we can make sure we understand this. Don't or do not serve him because you have to. Okay? For example, when I was a kid and I picked on my brother and I got in trouble, my mother would say, "You need to apologize to him." And I'd look and say, "I'm sorry." Why did I do it? I got caught. I got busted. I was told to do it, and if I wanted to keep from having punishment, I had to do it. I really wasn't sorry. The only sorry I was that I got caught. But folks, we do not need to be that way. We do not need to serve God because we have to. We need to serve God because we long to, because we want to serve Him, because we want to worship Him, because we want to be intimate with Him and to know Him. Because of what Jesus done in the past, it makes our presence here and now worth living for. We should be exciting Christians. We get excited about all kinds of things, don't we? Face it. There's a lot of people already thinking about and excited about what they're going to do this afternoon. It's getting summertime. That means what? Where's Miss Doris? Lake time, right? It's beautiful down there, isn't it? And we get excited about that, don't we? Getting the cabin opened up and aired out and ready to go so we could spend weekends out there riding and the different things of this nature. We get excited about things like that. But how come when we come to church, we don't get excited? You know, I don't know about any others because I've been a Baptist all my life, but I do know one sign. Don't take offense what I'm getting ready to say if you're doing it already. But if you take any kind of reading, crossing your arm means nothing. I'm not here because I want to be. Yeah. We are afraid that if we let our hands loose, they're going to what? We might move. We might get excited, hadn't we? We might clap our hands to God. We might even raise our hands to God. We might even tap our foot with the music, hadn't we? We need to get excited about God and praise Him because we want to, not because we have to. You don't have to be at church. You want to be here at church, I hope. And if you want to be here, then it should get filled with each one of us. And to see that God continuously promises. The third thing we see this morning quickly is His life reminds us of His promises. In Nehemiah chapter 9, Nehemiah is praying about the work of rebuilding the wall. And yet, at the same time as they're trying to rebuild the wall, they're being under attack. And so, Nehemiah takes time out to get with God and have a little powwow with God, a little prayer with God. And as he's praying, he says, "God, You delivered the Israelites out of slavery. You brought them out of Egypt." He reminded God, not that God needed reminding, but he let God know, "I know that You can do this thing because You've done it before." And so he gets on his knees and he's closing with his prayer, asking God to help them to rebuild the walls for Israel, to restore God's kingdom on this earth. And that's what he's doing. And he says, "God, You made a covenant with us. Don't forget that covenant." And just as Nehemiah remembered what his God kept His word, we too can believe the same. God doesn't break a promise. Now, there's not one person in here that can say, "I have kept every promise I've ever made." We've all broke promises, haven't we? We've all made promises that we couldn't keep. But God has made promises that He can keep. God has made promises that He is going to keep, and God has never broke any promises that He's ever made to us. And church, need I remind you that Jesus just didn't go to the suffering. He didn't die on that cross just to say, "What the heck?" Although sometimes we as church do that, don't we? Somebody comes forward, they accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we get excited about it, we baptize them, and then what? My work's done. We're all guilty. I'm guilty. We're all done, isn't it? It's kind of like having a baby and throwing it out on the street. My work's done, right? That's what we do. We are here to help and to grow and to see that there was a purpose. In the Scriptures, Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me," living daily, memorializing, "Remember me daily, this do." And when you're doing it, what are you doing? You're proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. Now, many of us have closets, and we don't realize it, but many of us have taken Jesus and put him in the closet and locked the door. We don't take him with us in some places. And yet, Jesus should be with us everywhere we go. I had a cat that passed away not too long ago, and I don't usually like cats, but I've had two now that I've fallen in love. But the last one, next to the last one, was like a dog to me. When I went outside, she had to go outside and was outside most of the time anyway. If I walked around the house, she walked around. If I walked to the shed, she walked to the shed. If I walked to there, she walked to there, and she would sit right down beside me. When we started painting the side of the house out, I got a ladder out, and I went up the ladder and started painting. She got right at the bottom of the ladder and sat there and looked at me until I came down. She followed me everywhere I went. Father, that's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to go with us everywhere we go. He wants to be a part of our lives 24/7, 365 days out of the year. And he doesn't need a holiday to take off. He doesn't need it. And so we need this morning to remember his life reminds us of the promises, the death, burial, and resurrection. And the list of promises keep going and going and going that he's made for us. If we read the Beatitudes, if we read the fruits of the Spirit, God has promised us so much that we just can't seem to get enough of it. And we can. But the one thing that we do need to memorialize this year, this week, is the Bible. This is what God gives us as a reminder. This is what he gives us to share, to know his word, to become closer drawn to him. And we need to see that this is what we need to have with us as we look. As we come to the close, we need to remember two things. The first thing I'm going to share is a plain statement. A commentator wrote this: "Don't take his pain for granted. Serve him with all you have. He is worth serving, especially after all he has done for you." Wow. That hit home to me. And then the other one, I'll close with this story. Paul Harvey tells of this story about a man that they used to see every Friday afternoon somewhere down in the eastern seacoast of Florida. Every Friday night, you would see this old man carrying a bucket full of shrimp, hunched over, taking it down to an old abandoned pier where he would feed the seagulls every Friday night. He did this every Friday night until he died in 1973. But the story of this simply starts at this time. In October of 1942, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker was on a mission in his B-17 to deliver a message to MacArthur. Somewhere as he was delivering that message, flying, they lost radio connections, they ran out of gas and everything else, and needless to say, they crashed in an ocean. Didn't even know which ocean they were in. But they had rafts, they got on the rafts, they got on that, and they were all safe in the rafts. They sat there, and they soon found out that the sea rations didn't last long, and all they had was each other and the rafts. And they found out one of the quickest things that they could not overcome was starvation. They were starving to death. But they said that on this particular day, they said that the captain, they called him Cherry, his name was William Cherry, was giving and he was reading a service that afternoon and having prayer. And when they finished, they all went back to the normal things of trying to protect themselves from the sun and all of this. And Eddie said that he took his hat and he pulled it down over his eyes so the sun would not hit him. And he began to drift off into a sleep. As he began to drift off, he felt something on his head. He realized real quickly it was a seagull. As he opened his eyes out and moved just slightly, he could see the faces of the others in the raft with him. And he knew that that was food for them and himself, if they could only catch him. Middle of the ocean, one seagull lands on his head. They caught him. And he said that they took that seagull and they used his body. They used the meat to eat. They took the intestines and used for bait to catch fish. And that's how they continued to survive until they were found. One seagull in the middle of the ocean landed on his head. So you see, when he got back, every Friday night he would buy a bucket of shrimp and take it and feed all the seagulls around him in memory of the one that gave his life for them. Now, just as he did that, shouldn't we remember the one that gave his life for us? The only difference between that story and our story is we don't need to do it every Friday night. We need to do it every day of our lives. And as he never forgot that seagull that gave his life, we should not forget. And Jesus told us not to. He told us in this scripture that we said, do this in remembrance of me. Do this. This morning, are you doing this in remembrance of Jesus? Every day when you wake up, when you go to your jobs, when you eat, when you go shopping, or whatever you do, in everything that you do, do you do it in remembrance of him? And then the last statement he says is, he says, if you do this in remembrance of me, you proclaim my name until I come. Folks, what this world needs today is a lot of proclaiming. We need to stand up as Christians, and we need to let others know there's hope, there's love, there's grace through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us an opportunity to come down to worship you. We thank you that you have spoke to us through your word. May we take it to heart this morning, Father, and may we remember Memorial Day, not just for our soldiers, but for the soldier, Jesus Christ. Because without him, we wouldn't have any freedom whatsoever. So, Father, thank you for giving your son. Thank you for giving and loving us so much that you were willing to sacrifice him, that we may have life and have life more abundant. And, Father, we need to experience that abundant life now. We need to share it with others. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The hymn of invitation is given as we stand in just a second to sing number 550, I'd Rather Have Jesus. But before we do that, we also have an invitation time where we invite people to make decisions. We invite you to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We invite you to come and come down to the front here, and I'll pray that prayer with you. We invite you to bring your decisions that you need to make, any sins that you need to confess. If something that is you're dealing with you and you don't know which way to turn with it, we invite you to bring it to Jesus this morning. We invite you also to slip out and come to here and join this church and say, I need to be in a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church, and I want to be a part of this family that lifts up our Lord Jesus Christ. As we stand and sing our hymn of invitation, number 550, You Come As the Lord Leads.